Good afternoon, IBC. Let me just set up here. Great. So my name is Henry Overy, and one of the elders here in this church. And it's my honor to bring God's words today. Pastor James is on a short holiday, so he's not here today. But God is here, and he's here to speak to us. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'd like to just say a word of prayer before we continue. So if you don't mind, just please bow your head as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are holy. We bless you because you are high and lifted up. You are different. There is none other that is in your class and in your order. You alone are God. And every other thing, being inanimate or animate, is subject to you. And God, we just stand in reverence this afternoon as we just worship your name. Thank you, O God, for your presence in our midst, that you count us worthy to tabernacle with us. We bless you. And Lord, as we look at your word today, I just pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts. I pray, oh God, that you will break down barriers and sentiments and hindrances to your word. Let your word come forth quick and sharp. And let it pull down, oh God, anything that stands in opposition. Every lie, oh God, today will be overcome by the truth of your word. Sicknesses will bow in this place. The brokenhearted, I pray that we receive mending as we hear your word. And I pray that the sinners will be saved today. You will walk on every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today I want to talk on the topic hallmarks of faith. But before I do that, let me just say that I don't know if there is anyone here in this house who have run into their favorite star, musician, music, artist or whatever. I don't know if you have run into one of them, if you have anyone that you really like. I haven't, but I think that it will be a very nice experience. I think so, that it will be a very nice experience. And I also know that the possibility of running into someone that is famous in the entertainment industry in Hamburg is very slim, right? That's very slim. The chances are very slim. You may have a higher chance of running into one of these famous guys if you go to Hollywood. Yeah? If you go to Hollywood, I guess there are tons of them. There are more of them in that city and in that area, so you may have the chance of running into one of them. But if you are unable to run into any one of them, you might have the opportunity to go to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? You may have the opportunity to go there, which is actually, as we see up here, a sidewalk on some of the streets in Hollywood, the city of Hollywood, that are lined up with pink stars. And as we can see, on every star is written the name of a very famous person in the entertainment industry. So if you cannot meet them in person, at least you can get in contact with them. They laid these things themselves. You know, they were selected and they laid these things themselves. And it's a nice place to go to. As a matter of fact, records have it that about 10 million people visit this street every year. That's just crazy, right? About 10 million people visit this place. I remember some years back, I wanted to go there. I was driving from San Diego down to that place, and I was stuck in traffic for about 6 hours. I couldn't get there. It was a very sad experience. I had to advise myself because the next day I had to take my flight back to Hamburg. So I just reversed the car and started heading back. So I couldn't get there. Very sad. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We're here to talk about Hebrews 11. We will be looking at Hebrews 11, which is a kind of the walk of fame. Yeah? In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 has been called Faith's Hall of Fame. Faith's Walk or Hall of Fame. This chapter contains, for those of us who know or don't know, a long list of people, men and women, who had demonstrated great faith in God. And as a matter of fact, the expression of their faith was so great that the Holy Spirit, I believe, inspired the writer of Hebrews to make a list of these people. And what I want us to do today is take a little bit of a dive into this chapter and figure out what the nature of the faith of these people was like. What was it that made them to make this list? Not everybody in the Bible's name is in that list. Just a few people made that list. And there was something about their faith that made them to make that list. And that's what I want us to try to figure out today. Now, the passage is a very long one, so I'm not going to read through the entire passage. I want to give that. I have a lot of homework for us today. So let me put that ahead of time. There's a lot of homework. So one of the homework is go back home. I want to believe that the Lord is going to speak to you today. And just go back, read the passage within the week, and try to think more about what is contained in this scripture. Meditate and reflect, hopefully, on what the Lord is going to speak to you today. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 begins very appropriately with a definition of faith. As we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says that to have faith, I'm reading from the Good News Translation here, is to be sure of the things that we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. So what is faith? According to this passage, faith is to be sure that what you hope for or what you expect is going to come to pass somehow, someday. Yeah? If it is hoping, you're hoping for it, you don't have it already, but you hope that it's going to come to pass someday. That is one dimension of faith. Another dimension is to, you will be said to have faith if you are certain that what you do not see physically or what you have not experienced before in your life is real. You know, that's another dimension of it. To believe when you are certain, you are 100% sure that something that is not tangible to you is actually exist. An interesting thing about this definition is that it doesn't only apply to biblical faith. You know, as I thought about it, we can extend it to different facets of life. For example, I have not received my salary. I have not seen my June salary. I have not seen my June salary, but I have hope that at the end of June is going to hit my account. Okay? I'm very sure of that. I have hope. And not only that, I have hope that this salary will not just enter my account. Or let me put it this way, I have this confidence because it's not just built on some wishy-washy thinking. Yeah? It is based on certain facts that I know. Yeah? Number one fact is that I am hopeful. I hope that my salary will come to my account, and I am sure that it will hit my account because I have a contract with my employer in which it is clearly stated that at the end of 30 days' work, they are going to pay me a certain amount. So it is not just based, it's not baseless. My faith, my hope is not baseless. Number two, it is also based on the reputation of my employer and my experience with them over the years. For the last 14 years that I've worked in that place, they have never failed to pay at the end of the month. So I have a hope, an expectation, but it is built on solid facts and experience. Okay? My dear sister, yes, Sister Tricia, does not work in my company. She can have all the hope and faith in this world that my employer will put some money into her account at the end of the month, but it's not going to happen. That kind of faith, in quotes, is what we call wishful thinking or positive confession. It is the faith that we want to talk about today is different from that. Wishful thinking or positive confession I wrote here is hoping for a positive outcome purely on the basis of what you desire or what you want. You're hoping for a positive outcome on the basis of what you desire or what you want, or not on the basis of reality. Okay? That would be wishful thinking, but this is clearly different from biblical faith. As a matter of fact, biblical faith says that, I think true biblical faith is more than a desire or a wish to have something nice or good. It involves belief in the existence of God. It involves a deep trust in the promises of God. It involves a deep trust in the wisdom of God and total reliance on his power. It has a basis. It's not just based on what you want. Okay? And this is the kind of faith we see that in Hebrews chapter 2, these men and women were commended for. As we will see shortly, for many of these people, the proof of their faith, as a matter of fact, was not that they received something that they desired. It was based on something else. The evidence of their faith was not what they received for many of them, but it was based on some other things. And that's what we want to look at today. We'll see from Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 11, that there are, you know, I find that there are three distinguishing factors or hallmarks, three distinguishing characteristics of everybody in that list. You can put them into one of three categories. Number one, that they had trust. Their faith was expressed through their trust, the trust they had despite hopelessness. And number two, there was some, for some of them, their faith was expressed through their obedience despite the consequence. And number three, the steadfastness despite the adversity they went through. So let's go to number one very quickly. I think that having trust despite hopelessness, trust is that this dimension of faith is probably the most popular in Christendom. So when we talk faith among Christians, the first thing that comes to our mind is that faith is a solid confidence that God will intervene and turn around a difficult situation. Right? So when we talk about faith, for most of us, for most people, including myself, the first thing that comes to our mind is, yeah, God is so powerful. He will turn around a hopeless situation. And yes, there are people whose faith was expressed in this way. A typical example will be Abraham and Sarah. As I will read shortly, these guys are ahead of me. Abraham and Sarah demonstrated this kind of faith. Abraham was 100 years, and Sarah was 90, well past the age of bearing children, both of them. You know, in terms of sexual activity, dead, as scriptures will say. Yet they trusted that God will fulfill his promise of blessing them with a child, and it manifested, it came to pass. They had trust in God despite being in a hopeless situation. And this we can see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says that it was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Now watch this. She believed that God would keep his promises. And so a whole nation came from one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people like the stars in the skies and the sand on the seashore. There is no way to count them. Now, That was wonderful. We know the story, many of us. But I think I want us to notice that their trust or their faith in God was not built on just what they wanted, what they desired. It was much more than that. It was anchored on the promise of God, as we see in verse 11, that she believed, Sarah believed, that God would keep his promise. There was a promise. It was not based on some just, you know, them feeling that it was a nice thing to have or it was a proper thing to have. Now, the fact is that scripture does show to us that even Abraham and Sarah actually doubted at first. So they were not always at this place of belief. It was a process for them, as we see in the next slide. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 to 17, scripture says, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarah. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. Watch this. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? He even doubted at first when God gave them that promise. And some time later, they had a visitation from some angels, some men, I would say. And then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a child, a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. A hopeless situation. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after all, I'm worn out, and my Lord is old. Will I now have this pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a child. So like we see from the scriptures, they actually, at the beginning of this journey, they could not even, it was such a hopeless situation that they could not even believe God. But again, when we read in the book of Hebrews, we see that they turned their hearts around and believed the promise of God, because God actually doubled down on his promise, as we read in that place. God read their thoughts to them. Remember, these thoughts, these doubtful thoughts, were not verbalized. They were in their hearts. But God confronted them, and not only that, rebuked them and told them about his power and doubled down on the fact that he had promised them and he was able to do what he was going to do. And so they believed, as we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. So clearly, Abraham and Sarah are an example of people who had trust despite hopelessness and receive the promise that God had given to them. Now, this is not only true of Abraham and Sarah, there are other people that made the list who also demonstrated this kind of faith. As we see in verse 32, he said, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Simeon, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. These were a group of men who received what God had promised them. Even though they were going through difficult situation, they received it and they saw the miracle of God. So, true faith is the unwavering confidence. I want to say, the true faith, biblical faith, is the unwavering confidence that God will do what he promised to do and not necessarily what we ask or want him to do. These people received what God promised to them. Yeah? They received what God has promised to them. And that was the manifestation. They believed what God had promised them, and it came to pass. That was the faith that they demonstrated. So my question for you at this question is, do you have faith in God? If you're sitting in this hall, do you have faith in God? And if you have faith in God, what is the basis of your faith? What is it based on? Is it based on wishy-washy thinking? Another question I would like you to consider is, what has God expressly promised you that you can anchor your faith on, like Abraham and Sarah? What has God promised you that you can anchor your faith on? That's a question you need to ask. Do you know what God has promised you? Because that's the basis on which your faith will give rise to the miracle that you expect. That's how your hopeless situation will turn into a miracle. Number two. Now, some of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 did not make the list because they trusted God to turn around a hopeless situation, like Abraham and Sarah. Many of them who didn't make the list because of that. But their names entered there because they obeyed God's command and instruction in spite of the consequences. In spite of the challenges that they were facing, it was their obedience to God that was the expression of their faith, that was the proof of their faith. And we see that in the life of Moses and also of Noah. In chapter 11, verse 7, it says it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to this great reward. Now, many of us here know the story of Noah. Imagine living in a world where he was the only righteous person. The Bible said he was blameless in his generation. Every other person was living in sin. I'm sure they were not clapping for him for being the most righteous person. He was probably not loved by the rest of the people because his life was like a condemnation to them. On top of that, God asked him to build an ark on dry ground. That's the height of foolishness. There was no water, there was no flood, and God asked him to do something that was stupid, at least humanly speaking. Why build a huge boat on dry land? And clearly, Noah must have been massively mocked by the people. But like we see in the scripture, he went ahead and he built the ark. He was certain of what he had not seen. The flood had not yet come, but he obeyed God despite the embarrassment and the, you know, that followed obeying God. Yeah? The evidence that Noah had faith was not the miracles that he experienced, but the obedience, his obedience to God. I want to say that again. The evidence of Noah's faith, the evidence was not the miracles, was not that God came through for him in a hopeless situation, which is, like I said before, the common definition of faith for us, but that he was obedient to God, even though it was costly. The same goes for Moses. Moses was not commended here for the many miracles that he performed. And if you know your scriptures well, he did a lot of miracles. And it would have taken faith for those things to happen. But that was not why he was commended. Why was he commended? He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He was a prince in Egypt, and that was massive. Pharaoh was like a god in Egypt. Pharaoh was a god. The Egyptians back then worshipped him as a god. And Moses was a prince in his house. Continued to be a prince and enjoying all the beautiful things in the palace meant that he was going to live in idolatry. The alternative was becoming like the children of Israel, denouncing those things and following the will of God. But that had a huge price to pay. And that's how we know that he had faith. He had faith because he chose to obey God, even though it was costly. Amen. So the question I have for you at this point is, have you ever proved your faith through obedience? God may not have come through for you like you want him to come through, but you claim that you have faith. Have you ever proved your faith through obedience? Have you ever been obedient to God lately despite unpleasant circumstances? If you have, that's evidence that you believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's move on quickly to the last point. Steadfastness despite adversity. And this is the last hallmark of faith. And to be steadfast is to be consistent, right? And to be unwavering in spite of adversity, challenges, difficulties, and all that. Some of the people, as we'll read soon, were not commended. They didn't make the list because of the other 2 points that I gave. They made the list because they were steadfast in adversity. They faced a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, in our world today, some of these people who made this list, we will look at them as sinners, especially if you come from certain backgrounds where we have been told that when you have problems, it's an evidence that, you know, God is not with you. So these people will not make the list. If we were to draw this list up ourselves, they would not make the list, right? Because we would see them as people who were unserious Christians. But to our amazement, they made the list. Hebrews 11:35 says, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They were steadfast. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeddered and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawn in half. And others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats and destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. They were steadfast in the face of adversity, and that is the proof of their faith. Some of them had the chance, as we read here, to denounce the faith, to compromise on their faith and escape the suffering. But no, they held on to God. I'm sure that they prayed that God would deliver them from the calamity that they were going through. I'm sure that they waited on the Lord. But in the wisdom of God, he did not answer. Apparently, God postponed their vindication. He postponed their blessing to eternity. He postponed their blessing to eternity. But these guys were steadfast enough to hold on to God in spite of all they were going through. Typical example, good example will be Stephen, not mentioned explicitly here. It was one of the first martyrs. He had a chance to renounce when he was before the council and be set free. But he doubled down in his belief in Christ and he suffered that for that. So my question for you is that, what is your faith built on? Would your faith hold in adversity? Would your faith hold in adversity? So we've looked at 3 things already, 3 dimensions of faith, 3 proofs of faith, 3 categories of faith, 3 ways in which we can express our faith, not just in trusting God for something. If you're a Christian and you have faith, the evidence of your faith is not just the miracles that you receive. It's also the fact that you are obedient despite the consequences and you are steadfast. And of course, you can trust God to come through when he has made a promise for you. So my question here will be, what characteristics of faith will you be commended for? People of God that are sitting here, what characteristics of faith? Which of these, if God was to write another list, where would you make this list? What would you be commended for? Now, perhaps your faith is being tested at the moment in one of these ways. Maybe your faith is being tested at this moment. And I know that we live in difficult times and we have different challenges. I want to say to us that it will be difficult to stand our ground, to trust, to keep trusting, to keep being obedient, to keep being steadfast, if our faith is not founded on solid ground. If your faith is purely built on your personal wishes and expectations, it's not going to last very long. It will crumble. That will be shaky ground. That will be shaking ground. Putting our faith in just what we desire, will be shaky ground. As I said earlier, true Christian faith is more than a strong desire. It's more than a strong wish. It's more than fervent prayers and asking God to come through and give you something nice or good. It includes that, but it's much more than that. It involves belief in the existence of God and a deep trust in the promises and the wisdom of God and a total reliance on his power. It was with this attitude that the people that we just read, they became victorious, as we see in some of the verses. I just put some of them up there again. Sarah, she believed that God would keep his promise. Her faith was not anchored in what she just wanted. It was anchored on the promise of God. Moses' faith was anchored on what? Moses thought that it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. Watch this. For he was looking ahead to the great reward. And finally, in verse 35 of chapter 11, others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. That was how they were able to survive the calamities that they went through. It was not based on wishy-washy thinking. It was based on the promises of God. It was based on the promises of God. So, I want to give us, as I close here, I want to give us some, statements of facts and some questions that we go along with them that I believe will help us to, they will serve as materials for us to grow our faith in Christ. Yeah? Think about this. God has expressly promised you certain things. That is fact. God has expressly promised you certain things. Do you know them? Do you know any of them? If you don't know them, you have nothing to anchor on. Find out what God has promised you. And there are a lot of promises in scriptures. Find out what, write it down, put it on your fridge, put it somewhere you can see it. Let it be the basis for anchoring your faith. Number two, fact. God is infinitely wiser than all created beings. If this is true, and it is true, what is the implication of this? If God is wiser than you, God knows better than you, God knows much more, is infinitely wiser than the wisest person you know. If that is true, can you trust him? Can you trust him to make your decisions for you? Right? What will be the implication of that? That would mean that if I ask him for something and it doesn't come through, maybe it is because he knows something that I don't know. And lastly, last fact, there is life after death. How does this affect how you live today? If you recognize that it's not all about the 80 or 100 years we live here, that there is eternity, that there is a promise about eternity, how would that affect how you live today? Would that not help your faith to be steadfast even in adversity? Amen. I'd like us to pray. Like I said, there are a lot of questions. I was telling my wife this morning, I said, I have too many questions. but I just put them there because I want us to, let them be points of reflections for us. So as we go back, let's think about some of these things. And especially if you forget anything in this sermon, just Ponder on the things that I wrote here. Just ponder on those things. I think they'll be very helpful. Abba Father, we thank you because you are a great God. Thank you for your word. Father, I just want to pray especially for those whose faith is shaky right now. They're wondering whether you exist. They're doubtful of your love. They're not sure of your decisions. They're confused by them. But some of them have been standing. Some of us have been standing for long, been trying to be steadfast in the face of temptations to turn around and go back to the Word. I just pray for every such person here today. Our God, you would uphold them with your right hand and that you will carry them yourself. I pray that you will provoke in our hearts thoughts that will help us to reflect on our position and our situation, on our faith life, and correct our understanding. I pray that you will bless us, O God, even as we continue in this journey. In Jesus' name, amen.